This is Leo Babeu for KTWH, and on Friday morning, May 29th, I had the opportunity to do one of our weekly check-ins with Greg Ruberg, CEO of Lakeview Hospital and Clinic, and we began having technical difficulties with the phone line getting established on my end, asking Greg to elaborate on how the challenging efforts to contain spread of COVID-19 in our area of the state, in Lake County and the North Shore, were going. Conversation flowed from there. We do apologize for the difficult listening from the host end of the conversation today. Here's Greg on what's happening at Lakeview.
For the most part, there's some challenges that we can talk about this morning, but we are really slowing that spread of COVID, which is not happening across the state, as people, I'm sure, are well aware.
I'm having a few technical difficulties, so people listening to the broadcast, please excuse that. This is important information we're getting from Greg. And I'd like to know, Greg, we're at that time of the year. It's kind of a milestone time of year. Everybody's feeling like it's summer. There's the outside potential to be recreating and dining with people outside, you know, on our patios at cookouts. It's graduation season. KTWH will be carrying the Two Harbors High School Crossing the Stage, a unique event that's happening next Thursday as graduates get a chance to walk in their graduation regalia. In unusual circumstances up at the airport, but so people are looking to try to be together, but be safe. Do you have any recommendations, advice for how to observe and what people can and might not want to do to celebrate safely with our youth and families?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of really important precautions to take. And again, is I think limiting the size of the group is important. You know, if you're outside, you can maintain that social distancing. But if you're sharing food and that kind of thing, make sure that you're using proper hand hygiene. And again, that even I get concerned about, you know, barbecues or buffet lines as people, you know, walk through those lines and touch, you know, touch items. Although there's some evidence that's showing that it's less likely to be transmitted by, you know, touch, but that's still certainly still a risk. So I think the space is important. What we're seeing around the state, and I'm sure we're seeing in the Twin Cities area, is, you know, the risk of COVID and the numbers of COVID continue to increase. And there are hospitals now that are really strained. This has been predicted for quite some time, but they're strained from a capacity standpoint, both from just general medical care, but more specifically for treatment of COVID. And the ICU beds now are starting to kind of inch up toward that capacity level. And the challenge with that is, again, when the city runs out of beds, they have to start looking elsewhere for support, medical support. That was the whole purpose of that month or two planning around the surge, is then you start moving patients around to be able to treat everyone. And then now, you know, unfortunately, as the listeners have seen, is we have the riots in the Twin Cities, and there's lots of concern about just having more people out and about. They're exposing each other. They're close. But there's also injuries that are happening, and people are ending up in emergency rooms. And it's just putting even a significant larger strain on the whole system of healthcare, EMS, law enforcement, of course, and firefighters, which is concerning.
Yeah, in turbulent times like this, certainly more wild card unknown variables are just obviously probably making everybody a little bit more on edge about what could happen if there were significant surges. I noticed that in the last week, there's been a fair amount of discussion in the news about serology testing, the testing for the presence of coronavirus antibodies in people that think they have been exposed. And Lakeview is not set up to do such tests, are they? And if not, is there a scenario in which you would expect that we would find that useful to do in the future, considering that they seem to have a great deal of challenges right now in their accuracy? There's been a lot of speculation they could be up to 50% inaccurate, either on the false positive or false negative side.
Right. Yeah, we've talked a lot about that, and it's just really difficult to get the proper equipment. And like you said, there's a lot of issues around the validity and reliability of that test. You know, we can refer patients for that test, you know, down to Duluth, and also they get referenced out to other labs. What we've seen anecdotally here, you know, I've had reports from people in our community in Lake County that they were convinced that they had COVID-19, and so they were able to get the serology test. And the ones that I've heard about so far have come back as negative, which surprised the individual, and they reached out and shared that by email with me or a phone call, which I thought was interesting. Our primary focus at Lakeview has still been on the testing of, you know, for active COVID, so the PCR testing, and we've got the quick analyzer, and we just signed a purchase order for the Cepheid analyzer, which we've been trying to get for quite some time. And again, that will help us test in-house that will be very helpful as we start to see more cases in Lake County. So, again, the time that we've been given to prepare, we've been working really, really hard. We're making good progress on that. And if we look at the trends around the state, clearly we're going to be seeing, you know, more cases here, but hopefully we can, you know, get a handle on those quickly. The other good news, I think, in Duluth, and again, it certainly could be a false sense of security, but the National Guard and the governor's office, MDH, did a pretty significant push on testing across the state last weekend. And I heard there were over 1,000 tests in Duluth and just a very few positive tests, which I think surprised people across the state. But we're seeing more people traveling into our county on the weekends, and we have just more tourist activity. And again, our concern there is if people don't follow the recommendations, we're going to be in the same situation as St. Cloud or the Twin Cities or other communities across Minnesota.
So certainly if we're finding in a broad cross-section of tests rather few cases, we can speculate that we're not very far on our way towards anything like herd immunity. And if the biology predicates that eventually the coronavirus will infect the population, that hasn't been exposed yet, there's just a lot of potential for a surge, even in the Northland, even in our more sparsely populated area, especially because of the influx of visitors now. So it's hard for you to probably project, but are you expecting that case number of one to be increased by the time Labor Day rolls around?
Yeah, I absolutely think we'll be seeing more COVID. There's really two things that I think come to mind. I think number one, so we had the one positive case in Lake County here a number of weeks back. I think some really good news, and I would credit some of the work around MDH and also public health and just our community, is that was really good news that individual did not, apparently was not out and about, did not spread it to other people, because we didn't see kind of that next case double to two and then four. So that was good news. So I think there's some lessons learned on that. But again, as we, as I drive around the community and to and from work, I see some groups of people that are very responsible, kind of spread out wearing cloth face coverings. And then I see, there's other places I see 10, 15 people all gathered together 6 inches or a foot apart with no cloth face covering. And so just from what we know across Minnesota and across the country, that is, that's not going to be helpful when we see more COVID here. But on the other hand, it doesn't mean we can't do things. I think that's the other piece that we've been talking internally about. You can get out and bike and hike and golf and do all of those things. We're learning more that we can do more safely if we follow precautions. If we simply say, well, I'm not going to worry about this, and if it happens, it happens, I think that's when the risk to our county increases. So there's a balance in there somewhere that's really important.
Yes, and a spark I heard that sparked a question for me in what you just said, Greg, is that we were somewhat fortunate that the positive case in Lake County turned out to be someone who hadn't had contact in a large number of circles to have some rapid spread while they were infectious. But I was speaking to journalist Kitty Mayo this week about her interest and concern that if we do have a surge, if even a handful of cases have the possibility of multiplying to dozens, she's really interested in seeing that we might have contact tracing capacity in place. Can you speak to where that potential, the capacity to do contact tracing, might be in our North Shore area right now?
Yeah, so this is something we've talked about for probably the last month or so, about how important that is. We've seen in countries like South Korea and other countries that have gotten a really good handle on COVID-19, they've used contact tracing. And really what that is tracking where somebody has been. So once somebody tests positive, you go back and you isolate. You try to really understand where did they go, who did they contact with, and so where could it have been spread? And then you really map that out, and so then you have those people tested, and you try to isolate them. And it's really a process that's fairly straightforward based on interviews. It's not always really perfectly reliable because people may forget who they talked to, close up without a mask, or where they went to a specific store. But there are a number of different ways to do that. And so Lakeview has been talking with Lake County, both public health and emergency management and others, about the value of contact tracing. Some countries have gone to apps on your phone where it tracks everywhere that you go. So if you do get exposed or come down with COVID, you go back and you can look at the app and it will tell you. I think people really struggle with that in the U.S. because it's kind of that big brother concept where I'm being tracked potentially by the government or others. or South Korea, they use GPS in vehicles, or using security cameras on streets, or using apps. I mean, they have a different approach to it. But I think the key, there's two really keys. It goes back to that serology testing and know who's been exposed, and then also the testing for active COVID, and then the contact tracing is the other piece of that. And again, I think it allows for a responsible kind of reopening and activity. But again, there's challenges and some significant limitations that we have to overcome.
Yeah, we're speaking this morning with Greg Ruberg from Lakeview Clinic and Hospital. And Greg, in America, we always have that thorny issue when it comes to providing health care. And I don't know if contact tracing exactly constitutes health care, but who pays for the additional personnel that it's going to take to do that?
Well, that's another topic that's being sorted out right now. So, you know, when we've talked to our partners across the county who have been very supportive and looking into this, and really MDH has been driving the contact tracing discussion across the state, but you know, we've offered up some of our staff. I know our wilderness partners have offered up and said we can help support this. And we, I guess from a healthcare perspective and a wilderness perspective, we've been more concerned about doing the right thing in our county and our community. We'll figure out the financial piece later. If it's something that we have to support with a couple of people here, I'm happy to do that. I think if you know, we have healthcare professionals that are happy to make a positive impact. But the key with contact tracing is to get things established early on from a public health standpoint, because once you get to a certain level of cases, it almost becomes overwhelming. You just can't get a handle on it. So the earlier you can start it, the better. And that's why we started those discussions here and working with MDH to see what could that look like for Lake County specifically, so it doesn't become a Hennepin County where you just can't get a handle on it.
Yes. Thank you for your diplomacy there. I'm interested in, you know, if it's important for the entire public health of the state of Minnesota, my suggestion is that we have to allocate the funds that it takes to do the contact tracing to really flatten the curve, and that it shouldn't necessarily fall on any one small community with limited resources.
Right. I think there'll be many, many lessons learned from a public health standpoint and a healthcare standpoint regarding virus transmission and pandemics like this that I think we just, I mean, you can see it when you watch the news and you're reading the briefings and articles that come out. We're learning every single hour and every day. And we're going to need more infrastructure if this is going to become the new normal where viruses can mutate and spread. And so, you know, which I think we have to take this seriously, learn from it, and implement different process and infrastructure to support that in the future. Because we can't, and you know, this has been, as everybody knows, very difficult for the country and the state and for communities.
Indeed. Greg, if you have any other thoughts going into this graduation season, just reminders of people. We didn't mention your concern about the number of people in a group, or is it more about, I mean, everybody talks about groups of less than 10, but is it more important that the social distancing, maybe being outdoors and being masked, is that more critical than whether you have 9 or 11 people on the scene?
Absolutely. I personally struggle sometimes with the numbers that we set, kind of this arbitrary number of 10 is, you know, 10 and under is okay, but 11 or more is bad. If you've got 3 people together that are not following recommendations, that is a lot worse than having 100 people together who are. You know, so I think it appears to be common sense, but I think, and my personal thought is if you're with anybody, you know, outside of your family, follow those guidelines. You know, I'm going to be traveling in a vehicle with somebody that's not part of my immediate family. We're both going to be wearing source control masks.
Right.
So I think it's just, we've had to do a little bit of traveling for work for some of our stuff we've been doing, and we take all of those precautions seriously, and we, you know, we don't go with 4 in a vehicle anymore. We take multiple vehicles, again, just trying to follow those restrictions.
Right.
Or you could argue, well, we're less than 10, but that doesn't matter.
Right. Point well taken. Thanks for visiting with us again, Greg, and I hope to have a better connection next week, and I apologize to our listening audience. It's very challenging listening on my end. I'm glad that you were able to hear my end of the conversation. Thanks so much for joining us here on KTWH.
All right, thank you. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, you too. Greg Ruberg, our CEO of the Lakeview Clinic and Hospitals in Two Harbors, talking with us weekly, a hospital check-in on the COVID-19 pandemic and our community response.